And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that keep on instructing them with salah and use a harsher measure when they grow up and they are not performing salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, then use a harsher approach to ensure that they do perform their salah, because it's going to help them throughout their life and beyond the qabr as well. There was a person who complained, a mother who complained about her child, and she says, day and night I'm behind the son of mine when it comes to salah, and I'm nagging the child, and I'm encouraging the child, and I'm doing everything, but the child is just not performing salah. It's like a burden upon the child to perform salah, to perform wudu, and to come to the masjid or perform salah at home. She says, until I learned this dua. And she says, the mother of the child says, I continued making this dua throughout my life, and I kept after every salah, I say, Allahu Rabbi ja'alni muqim as-salah wa min dhurriyati. Oh Allah, make my children establishers of salah, performers of salah. She says, wallahi, within a few months' time, I saw naturally the child was inclined towards salah. Naturally, the child would, without me asking the child to perform the salah, the child would show interest in salah and perform the salah on his own. So, a very important dua that we should make for our children. Rabbana, at the end, Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Rabbana wa taqabbal dua, O my Rabb, answer my prayer. This dua that I have made, O Allah, answer this dua of mine. Brothers and sisters, never stop making dua for your children. No matter what they do to you, no matter how much they hurt you, no matter how much they have disappointed you, no matter how much they have let you down, you don't ever stop making dua for your child. You might not see the dua answered during your lifetime. You might not see the dua answered during your lifetime. You might never see the child you wanted to always see. But wallahi, that dua, your dua can take the child very, very far in life. It is dua that carries, the dua of the parent, which allows that parent to succeed, that child to succeed in life. The dua of a mother, the dua of a father, especially the dua of the mother. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that ثَلَاثَ دَعْوَاتٌ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ. There are three du'as that are readily answered by Allah. The first, دَعْوَةُ الْوَالِدِ لِوَلَدِهِ. The child that the father and the mother make, the du'a that the mother and the father make for the child. That du'a is readily answered by Allah Azza wa Jal. So do not ever stop making du'a. Unfortunately today, we only make du'a when our child is experiencing some difficulty, or our child is in some problem, or our child is facing some predicament in his or her life, then we raise our hands and we start making dua for the child. But we learn from the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, no matter what condition the child may be in, never stop making dua. Now look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the dua you make in favor of your child is readily answered by Allah, but the bad dua, the curse that you make upon your child, is also readily answered by Allah. So don't ever curse your child. No matter how annoyed or how upset or how disappointed or how angry you may be at that child, never should we curse our children. Why? Because that curse is also answered by Allah Azza wa Jal, and it has an effect on a child. And I want to, you know, relate a brief incident to you with regard to the power of dua of a parent for the child. Once Musa alayhi salam, you know, he was Kalimullah. He had a direct line with Allah. He could directly speak to Allah. So he raised his hands and he says, Ya Allah, show me who will be my companion. Or tell me, Ya Allah, who will be my companion in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Musa, Fulan al-Jazzar, a butcher. So and so butcher. He is a seller of meat. He has a butchery. That ordinary man will be your companion in Jannah. Musa alayhi salam was shocked. Firstly, I do not even know the man. And secondly, he is a butcher. He is a butcher, he's an ordinary person. He is not a scholar, he's not a monk. How can that man be my companion in Jannah? He found this quite strange. So he says, Ya Allah, direct me to this man. So Jibreel alayhi salam comes down, and Musa alayhi salam and Jibreel, they make themselves, or they move until they come to a certain village. When they come to this village, Jibreel alayhi salam points out the man to Musa alayhi salam, that you see the man over there, he is selling meat. That is his store, and he is the man who is going to be your companion in Jannah. So Musa alayhi salam, from a distance, he observes, he wants to see that what is it in this man? Is it his generosity? What is it in him that will earn him my companionship, the Nabi of the time in Jannah? So he watches the man, he doesn't find anything extraordinary in his behavior. He goes about his usual business. At the end of the day, the man closes his store, he takes some meat with him, and he proceeds moving towards his home. Musa alayhi salam comes up and he joins the man. The man is not aware who, you know, is not familiar with Musa alayhi salam, so he doesn't know this is the Nabi of the time. Musa alayhi salam says, I am a traveler, I have traveled from a certain village, and I do not have any place to spend the night. Can you be kind enough to accommodate me in your home so that I may spend the night with you? The man said, of course, why not? Come home with me and together we can spend the night. You can sleep over at my place for the night. Musa alayhi salam wants to observe, what deed is it that this man performs that has earned him such a lofty position? When they come home, Musa alayhi salam is sitting, he's observing. He finds that the man goes to his stove, he puts on the stove, the meat that he brought from his store, he starts cooking the meat, and he starts preparing a dish. After he prepares the dish, he takes the food and he puts it down, and then he goes to a hammock. Like a hammock, Allah knows exactly what it was, but it was, the narration says, it was hanging from the ceiling. So it was like a raised platform, or like a hammock you have these days. And he says he brought it down, and in it was an extremely, extremely old woman who was of advanced age. She could not move, she was immobile, she was extremely old. And this man, he brought this woman down, he seated her, he washed her hands, he washed her face, and then he took the meat which he prepared, he chewed onto it, and he started feeding this old woman. And Musa alayhi salam was surprised that who is this woman? So he observed this deed, he observed this act, and he overheard this woman whispering something. As the man was feeding this old woman, she was whispering something. So Musa alayhi salam said, who is this old woman? He said, this is my mother. What is she saying? He said, this is my mother, she's old. Whenever I feed her, she makes one dua. What's the dua that she makes? Oh Allah, allow my son to enjoy the company of Musa in Jannah. That is where your mother's dua can take you. And that is where your dua can take your child. An ordinary man. And Musa alayhi salam was shocked out of his mind. He says, Subhanallah, it was the dua of this mother that has allowed this man to enjoy my company in Jannah. So the importance of making dua for our children. We learn from this dua that the dua for our children's spiritual and religious state must be given priority. We must make dua for our children when it comes to their schooling, when it comes to their studying, when it comes to their worldly life and progress in this dunya, we must make dua for them. But priority should be given to their spiritual state. And priority should be given to the akhirah, dua for the akhirah. Dua for their qabr, dua for their religious state. That dua should be given priority. Many a times we are concerned, what will happen to my child when I leave this world? What will be the financial state of my child? How secure will my child be when I pass away? That is our concern. When I die, what will happen to my child? But we should have a different concern. When my child dies, what will happen to him? That is true love. The concern that you have for your child for akhirah. That is really profound, deep, sincere love. The concern that you have for your child's akhirah. Your child's success once the child leaves this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.